As we go to the scriptures, let us pray. Speak, O Lord, from your word, for your servants are listening. In Christ's name, amen. Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. It's Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so that you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Ever had a mountaintop experience where what's happening to you becomes so vivid and compelling that it fills you with hope, and you can really see the road that is laid before you, and the vista of that road fills your heart with joy. You're on the mountaintop. You've never felt more fully alive. You've never felt like you can see more clearly the path before you. And then Monday morning comes along, and you have to go to work, and you have to return to life as it is, that is lived out between the mountaintop and the valley, lived out often in the shadows and painted with shades of gray. Sometimes a mountaintop experience is literally on the mountaintop, which is what happens just before the passage that we heard today Chip read. At the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus takes his three closest followers up a mountain that we believe was Mount Tabor in Galilee, a mountain set apart. And there he was revealed to them in his heavenly glory, in brilliant light emanating from within. And his disciples saw him speaking with Moses and Elijah, and they heard God say, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." I can't imagine the awe and the wonder and the joy that they must have felt in that moment. But I can all too easily imagine what came after that when they went down the mountain at the end of that day. And there at the mountain's foot, they entered into a scene of debate and confusion, people running back and forth together, life as we know it, a Monday morning world. For me, the heart of this passage is the Father's words in response to Jesus. And you heard the story about his son, probably an epileptic son. My brother suffers from epilepsy, and everything that you hear in the scripture echoes what I've seen him go through all his life. He had an epileptic son that would have seizures. And he had come looking for Jesus, and he wasn't there. So he turned to the disciples. They were unable to cure the boy. And now there's debate and finger-pointing and argumentation, and that's what Jesus walks into. He says, "What are you arguing about?" And the father tells him about what happened or didn't happen. And he ends with the words, "But if you can help us, please have pity on us and help us." And Jesus says, "If I'm able, all things are possible for those who believe." And now what I think is at the very heart of this passage, the father's response, "I believe," he cried, "help my unbelief." I went over to Lake Forest Hospital last week to think about this passage, because a hospital is a place where belief and unbelief are very, very close together. And there is a lot of praying going on. I thought about all those prayers being offered up as I walked on the main floor and went into the beautiful chapel with the blue windows on the corner and sat there thinking about this father and about all the other fathers and mothers and adult children and spouses who have loved ones when bad things happen to them. Our prayers go up because we do believe all things are possible with God, and we do believe that Christ can heal us, even now as he did in the hills of Galilee long ago. But we also believe in the facts, and the facts can tell a different story. The numbers on a test result, the drugs that are administered, the therapies that are called for. We have our belief and we have our doubts. And that is what it means to be human. I don't have much time to speak to you this morning, but what I really want to say is that doubt is not the opposite of faith. And faith is not certainty. Faith is our capacity to embrace the uncertainties in life. And doubt, well, doubt is just the other side of faith. The other side of a coin. They go together. One has no meaning without the presence of the other. Just as courage has no meaning unless we take courage in the face of our fears. T.S. Eliot, the famous English poet, once wrote a poem called Hollow Men. The Hollow Men, back in 1925, when he was very discouraged and depressed about the state of the world around him. And he says these words in that poem. He says, "Between the idea and the reality, between the motion and the act, falls the shadow. For thine is the kingdom." Between the concept and the creation, between the emotion and the response, falls the shadow. Life is very long. It seems to me the shadow that he's speaking of is the shadow that falls between our best intentions and the outcome of those intentions in the world that we live in today. Between all that we hope and aspire for and then what can and often does happen in this world, the shadow falls. When you light a candle of faith in a room, it can fill the room with light. But as that candle flickers, you'll see the shadows are still there, dancing on the walls. The light and the shadow are together. And that's the world that we live in too. A world of faith and doubt, of belief and unbelief. And it all comes to the Father's prayer to Jesus. I believe, help my unbelief. What strikes me as so critically important in this prayer is that it is a prayer. That we find this man faced with his helplessness to save his child, turning to Jesus and admitting his vulnerability and his need for him. He offers to Jesus his unbelief. And that's what we need to learn to do as well. We don't have to believe first to have a relationship with Jesus. We have to trust him enough with our vulnerabilities, with our doubts, with our fears. And when we offer him that, then he puts his arms around not part of us, but all of us. Our hopes and our fears. What we believe in, what we're not so sure about. Jesus wants a relationship not with some of you, but with all of you today. And he can embrace and transform your doubt and your unbelief into an even deeper faith. And that's the blessing that comes with offering him all that we are. No one said this better than Thomas Merton, whose prayer is referred to in Magri's book, Embracing Uncertainty. I want to leave you with that prayer today because no one said it better than him. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. That's when our fear and our faith come together and are embraced by Jesus Christ. And that's exactly where we're going to find him, you know, at the end of it all, not necessarily on the mountaintop. We're going to find him in that valley because, after all, he is the good shepherd. And he's promised to be with us in the valley of the shadow, even the shadow of death, where his rod and his staff will comfort us. And he will lead us into the light. And we will say, Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Amen.